We've got a really special deep dive for you today. So imagine signing a liability waiver to be your own doctor.
Oh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah. But instead of surgery, it's for building the actual roof over your head.
Which is still pretty bad.
Exactly. Because until 2006, South African housing law effectively let everyday people do just that. So today, we're looking directly at the Government Gazette. Specifically, the 2006 South African Housing Consumers Protection Measures Amendment Bill.
That is a very long title.
It is a mouthful. But our mission here is to extract exactly how governments patch these legal loopholes to protect everyday people from bad construction and, sometimes from themselves. So, okay, let's unpack this because while reading legislation sounds dry, this document is actually a fascinating case study in fixing unintended consequences.
It really is. Because the original 1998 Act, it created this massive blind spot, entirely out of good intentions. The government basically wanted to allow people to build their own homes using their own labor.
Right, like without being bogged down by corporate regulations.
Exactly. By legally excluding these so-called owner builders from the Act's protections, they hoped to encourage self-reliance. But they inadvertently opened a total Pandora's box.
Because if you completely remove the safety net for self-built homes, you aren't just helping a family build a cabin. I mean, you're creating a massive loophole for anyone to exploit.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is that the amendment's own memorandum explicitly admits this created an absurd situation.
Wait, an absurd situation, their exact word.
Their exact words. Shady commercial developers quickly realized they could just, pretend to be everyday owner builders to dodge building standards entirely.
Oh, wow. Leaving buyers totally exposed to, like, disastrous construction failure.
Completely exposed, yeah.
So the fix here, the 2006 fix, was essentially flipping the default. Instead of being automatically exempt, you now have to actively apply to the council to prove you're a bona fide owner builder.
Right, you can't just claim it and move on.
But surely just making people opt in doesn't stop a dishonest developer from simply, I don't know, lying on their exemption paperwork.
Well, no, and that's why the amendment doesn't stop at the paperwork.
Right.
They had to attack the actual money supply.
The money supply.
Yeah. If a builder tries to bypass the exemption or starts pouring concrete before officially registering the project, what the bill calls late enrollment, they're hit with severe financial penalties.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the government didn't just hire more inspectors to enforce this, right? They drafted in conveyancers.
The property lawyers.
Right. Wait, so the conveyancer handling the mortgage bond is now essentially the bouncer at the club, checking the builder's ID before letting the money flow.
That is exactly what they did. By law, a conveyancer now cannot register a mortgage bond until they verify the home builder is officially registered with the council.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, if the builder isn't in the system, the bank's money just does not flow. Choking off the financing before a brick is even laid is incredibly effective. And with that checkpoint secured, the bill guarantees some pretty massive practical wins for the consumer.
Right, the warranties. The amendment explicitly extends the warranty scheme so that major structural defects are covered for a full 5 years. Plus, they specifically single out roof leaks, giving buyers 12 months of guaranteed coverage after they move in.
Which, addresses the practical reality of home buying. I mean, a microscopic crack in the foundation or a faulty roof seal that often doesn't show up until the first major storm.
Or until the house settles, yeah.
Exactly. This mechanism ensures the buyer isn't left holding the bag for shoddy workmanship that's hidden behind fresh drywall.
Right. But establishing all these new gatekeepers and exemption applications and warranties, it creates a totally new problem, a massive administrative bottleneck.
Oh, a huge one.
Right. If everyone has to apply for an exemption, who was actually processing this mountain of paperwork?
Well, originally the Minister of Housing handled these exemption applications. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see why that failed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A cabinet minister and the broader Department of Housing, frankly, they lacked the highly specific technical expertise needed to evaluate complex architectural and construction plans.
I mean, routing individual home construction applications all the way up to a cabinet minister sounds like a recipe for a multi-year delay on just a single foundation pour.
It caused massive lengthy delays. So the 2006 amendment cuts that red tape by shifting the power directly to the council.
Making it much faster.
Right, mandating that decisions get made within 60 days. They did, however, leave an appeals process routing back to the minister, basically as a vital safeguard in case the council oversteps.
So what does this all mean? It shows you that legislation isn't just a static document you put on a shelf. It's a living system that constantly has to adapt to real human behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether that's developers hunting for loopholes or a bureaucracy choking on its own red tape.
It's a continuous evolution to match reality. You patch one hole, observe how people react, and then you patch the next.
Which leaves you with this thought to take away. If it took a 2006 Flynn Mint to explicitly ensure something as incredibly basic as roof leaks were covered in a housing protection bill, what incredibly obvious protections might be missing from the laws regulating our newest digital or financial assets today? Maybe we're all just signing liability waivers for our digital houses, completely unaware and just waiting for the roof to cave in.